Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The church is more than brick and mortar. The Church Universal is a spiritual building the Bible calls a temple. Each believer is a stone, making up a part of the walls and structure. Today, more about your part in the church founded by Christ. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Turn with us to Ephesians chapter 2 as we learn more about the gift of the church.
We talked about one body very briefly. I talked about one family. There's another figure of speech here that I want us to understand, and that is one temple. You'll notice it says in verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together." Do you see this text? You are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The imagery of the temple. The simple fact is that God has decided to go into the quarry of sin. Do you remember how Solomon's temple was built? The Bible says that Solomon's temple was built without any noise at the temple site because they quarried the stones far away. All of the noise took place there, and then they were brought together and they fit perfectly, which is truly amazing. If you've ever been to Israel, you know how impressed you are with the fact that all of these buildings, I mean, if you see Herodian stones, stones of Herod, that are beveled together and they weigh 20 tons, you wonder how they did this. But all of the stones were brought together and they all fit together. And the imagery that the Apostle Paul has, Peter says that we are living stones, is simply this, that God goes into the quarry of sin. And he digs for himself and chisels for himself some stones. And he goes into every country of the world, every racial bit of diversity, every strata of rich and poor, every kind of aptitude and gifting. God goes into that quarry. He chisels out the stones. He chooses them. He brings them together. And they rub together so that they become smooth. And that's why God made us very different. And he brings us together because he is building a temple. And this temple is very special because it is being built by an architect whose name is God. And it's going to be a very famous temple because some buildings are famous because of who lives in them. Rebecca and I have been to England a couple of times, and I remember being and standing at the gate there at Buckingham Palace, famous because that's where the Queen lives. She was having tea that afternoon, and we felt deeply rejected because we were not invited to tea. But at least we saw the building. Love to go in there sometime, but that probably will never happen. Why? Because it's so famous because of the person who lives there. If you come with us on the tour to the sites of the Protestant Reformation, we will be in the Wartburg Castle. And, you know, we go through the castle. We see all of the things that existed in the 12th and 13th century. But everybody is anxious to get to a certain room because that's a room where Martin Luther lived for 10 months, where he translated the New Testament into German, where supposedly he threw an inkwell at the devil. By the way, I don't think he did. I think that he said in his table talks, "I fought the devil with ink." If you want to fight the devil, you don't throw an inkwell at him. There isn't a demon in the world who says, "Woo, did you see that? I just missed it." You fight him with ink. You give people the Bible. Now, that does not hinder tour guides from sometimes rubbing some soot on the side of the wall and say, well, that's where the inkwell landed. My friend, why do we want to get to that room? Because a famous person was there. He occupied it, and something important happened there. The reason that the Church of God is so incredibly important is, did you notice the text? We are being built together for a habitation of God. God dwells within his church. And the various stones from all parts of the world, and here at the Moody Church, where we have people from more than 70 different countries of origin, we come together and we fellowship together. Why? Because this is where God dwells. Oh, you say he dwells within us. Yes, he dwells within us, but there is no substitute for the fact that when people are gathered together in worship as a church in the name of Jesus, God shows up and says, I dwell with these people. Genesis chapter 3, he walked with the people. You get to the book of Exodus, you find out that he wants to dwell with the people. He wants to live with his people. He wants to live among us. Now, I've given you these three images because we are the representatives of Jesus Christ on earth, by the way. Very interesting. Have you ever read this in Acts chapter 1? In Acts chapter 1, it says, the former treatise have I written to you, O Theophilus. Luke wrote this. O Theophilus, in all that Jesus began to do and to teach, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. That's where Jesus began to do and to teach his work. But obviously what Luke says is, and then he commissions his apostles, we are the continuation of Jesus Christ on earth. I'm not bragging, I'm only telling you the truth. We are Jesus on earth. I think, for example, that church in Berlin, which I've been to many times, which was smashed during the war. The image of Jesus was smashed, the Kaiser Wilhelm Church. And when it was put together, they couldn't find the arm. And so today it is a statue of Jesus without the arm, as a representative of the fact that we are his arms. We do his work on earth. Now, all of these images are wonderful, but how do we apply them? This is God's gift, the connectedness of the church. You know, it's possible during this series of messages, when I talk about the various gifts that are given to the church, to simply listen and then not to open your gift, not to apply it. That certainly is possible all the way through. To tell a somewhat embarrassing story about Rebecca and me, you know, one Christmas we were receiving so many Christmas cards that we put them in a basket, and we opened many of them, but there were some we didn't open because we said to ourselves, we don't have time right now. You know, we're going to wait a couple of days and then we're going to open the rest. Well, we didn't do that. So the next Christmas, we come across some unopened Christmas cards. Well, that was manageable. One of the little problems with it is that one of the cards had a $100 check written out to us. Not sure exactly how we handled it, you know. I mean, you don't phone up and say, hey, I got your check, finally. I think we just ignored it, hoping that her bank would cover for her and tell her that the check was never cashed. But that's the way we can be. God gives us all of these checks, he gives us all of these blessings, and we can hear about them, and we never open them. Now, if we are the body of Jesus Christ, if we are his family, if we are his habitation, his temple, who are we in the world? Where is our strength? What I'd like to do is to suggest to you where our strength lies as a church at this moment of great need here in the United States of America. I think, first of all, our strength lies in our basic unity and understanding that unity, and with that unity, loyalty and commitment to the local body of Jesus Christ. I hope that you understand that. You know, there are people who look at the church as a gasoline station. You know, you drive up your car Sunday morning, you get it filled, and then you leave, and you pay as little as you possibly can for the gasoline. And we all like the fact that gasoline prices are falling. And wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, you're listening to the radio, you know, there's a cheap gas over here, and this station sells it for this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they said, and by the way, if you go down the street another 2 miles, the station is giving it away free. Everybody'd be there. And some people look at the church like that. We can come, we can be filled, we can enjoy the music, we can learn from the sermon, we don't have to make any commitment, and it's all free, and we make no commitment either by our gifts, our talents, or our money, and we just come every week to be filled up. That is not the way the church is intended to function. Everyone making a contribution, everyone loyal. Now, pastors, senior pastors sometimes come and go. I'm treading very carefully here for the next few moments. And you're a member of the family. That doesn't mean that you jettison the family, because there's some service station down the road that has a higher octane. What you do is you stay committed to the church because your loyalty is very important. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this in the book of Colossians, that you cannot enter into all that God has for you if you look at the church as a filling station. It says that your hearts may be knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Did you notice that? Unless your hearts are knit together in love, you cannot enter into everything that God has planned for you. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course I want to emphasize the fact that we do not get saved through our involvement in church. In this message, I've been stressing the need for spiritual gifts, that all of us be involved. But remember this, salvation is a free gift given to sinners who know that they need a Savior. And how we love that Savior, and we proclaim that Savior, and we offer you that Savior who is able to save us from our sins. But having received that free gift of salvation, now we desire to be involved in God's work with God's people, serving together, learning together, making sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ has a good witness in our community, and that should happen through the local church. You know, this is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. I preached it because in Christ, we have many blessings that I want us to enjoy. So be sure to continue to listen to this series and let yourself be blessed.
The local church is key for every believer. Going it alone means depriving yourself of the help and admonition each of us needs every day. Next time, we find why loyalty to the church pays rich dividends. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.